Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you, everybody, for watching.
How good was that video?
Oh, it's so good. So for those playing along at home, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/GameOnOz, we just showed off a video for Three Little Pixels, which is a forthcoming indie game platform that Goa is involved with. We'll say that. Like, Pete's the driving force behind it. It's going to be amazing. And you would have seen there that there was a few little snippets about what it is. It's basically pay for play. So not pay to play, pay for play. And what that means is that you pay off the game as you play it. So you play an hour or two of the game, you pay a portion of it. So it's going to be an amazing thing when it gets up and running. And as you saw there, the closed beta is hopefully getting off the ground. Not hopefully, it will be getting off the ground in December. So go to Three Little Pixels. I forget the website. I know we actually just got in Twitch chat. Hang on, let me scroll up.
They also have a Discord server as well that you can join. I believe their Twitter is Three Little Pixels. Mm-hmm. So you can follow more of them there. I just want to give a quick shout out as well. Obviously to everyone in chat, thank you for being here as soon as we started. You're amazing. But Arion, thank you for the sub, 20 months of subscribing to the channel, and also to SimmyCap, subscribed for 54 months.
54 months,
thank
Simmy,
you so
mad
much.
Woman, you.
Much appreciated, and it's nice to see so many familiar faces today.
That's it. But yes, the URL that you need to go to register for Three Little Pixels, reserve your gamer tag there, is register.threelittlepixels, the word three, the word little, and the word pixels.com/login, and you can secure your gamer tag. I've got mine.
I've got mine too. Yeah. I feel there's nothing worse than going to put in your usual gamer tag for it to already been taken. And usually I just chuck another E on the end of Stormy.
Or an underscore.
Or an underscore or something. But now I've just got Stormy just normally, which is really, really good. Yeah. Jumped onto that nice and quick. So yeah, make sure you get into it. I think Gamma's just shared the Discord there as well. So you'll see a lot of familiar names and faces in that server too. So
that's it. Discord.threelittlepixels.com. Three spelled out the word as well. T-H-R-E-E. Get amongst it. Let's go.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm hot.
Yeah, it's really warm in here, isn't it?
It's been 30 degrees here today and the studio is a little bit warm.
I was worried that I had forgotten my jacket, but now I'm really glad I didn't.
Don't need to worry about that. I'm just you know what bugs me about this though? It's the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday. It's this beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky outside. I'm going camping on the weekend. You want to know what the weather forecast is?
Is it cold and wet?
It's cold and wet. It's like 18 degrees and raining. And it's just like, why can't we have a day like this on the weekend?
Yeah.
Please.
It's not meant to be.
Yeah, not meant to be.
Not meant to be for you, I don't think.
Oh, that's all right. Honestly, it's the hockey team wind up. We're just going to sit there, tell stories, and drink copious amounts of liquids that may be alcoholic. But but that's us. But let's get into the show here, shall we? We've got a few things to get through. Got some going to talk about the Game Awards, and there was an anniversary that happened today/. Yesterday, it's funny time zone funky wonky timey wimey wibbly wobbly Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah.
But before we do that, let's get into bloody good game of the week. So if you'll excuse me, Stormy, I think I might go first.
No,
because
it's okay. I like this one too, so I'm excited to hear you chat about it.
I am very addicted to this. When the scene wants to change, there we go. So I have been playing Marvel Snap, and like I am a big fan of card games. When I was in high school, I got involved in playing the Star Wars customizable card game. I loved it. And I got a little bit involved. I had some friends that played Magic, so I played that a little bit. And of course nowadays you've got things like Hearthstone and Magic, the Gathering Arena online stuff. Mm-hmm. But this one you can play on the phone, and what I love about it is the games are really quick.
Yeah,
they're a few minutes each. There are three battleground type areas that you can have, and they start off by being hidden, and then one gets released each turn, and they have different effects. Like it might say on turn five you have to play all your cards here, you can't play cards that cost one, two, or three.
Yeah.
Or
your cards will turn into a rock.
Yeah, that's it. You know, play a card here and shuffle three rocks into your deck. There's some quite fun stuff like that, and there's all sorts of different cards for you to get. So you start off with some basic cards, but I think the draw of this is that they're quick games. There's only six turns unless you get Limbo as a location and then you get a seventh turn. But yeah, generally games go for six rounds, and cards get played at the same time. So it's not I'll have a turn, then the opponent can respond, and I'll have a turn, yeah, whatnot. But both players are going at the same time, and it does make for some interesting sort of strategies come up, because like if you see some cards go down, like Hawkeye is a card. He costs one, and when you put him down, if you play a card with him next turn, then he gets more power. So you know that an opponent is going to probably play a card their next turn, which means that if you've got a card that says if opponent plays a card at the same location as this card when they're revealed, then something happens. You could just play that card there and get that, whatever that text is happening. So it's quite good. I'm really enjoying it. I'm very addicted. Every time the dailies come out, I am just in with the dailies and the weeklies and everything. I've been playing it for less than a week.
Anyway. Yeah, I was going to ask how long you've been playing it for. But I went through the same thing when this first came out. I was like, okay, I'm going to play this obviously because I really like Marvel and obviously a good, really good mix of characters. I don't know if you've got carried away with this yet. There's two things I really got stuck into the more I kept playing. Because there's that Tesseract button at the top,
yeah,
which increases what, I can't remember, was it the number of points or the score that you get at the end?
Yeah, so if you basically wager one Tesseract per, so if you win, you get two Tesseracts and it increases your rank in the game. But if you feel like you've got a good enough hand and that you're going to win, you can tap the cube up the top and wager more. And if you win, then you win more. But if you lose, then you lose more.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just get really arrogant and be like, yep, I'm pressing that one. And then I got carried away with that. But I also really liked, and this is probably just me as a Marvel fan, but getting to upgrade the cards, like the individual cards as you go. Because they start off as like a very two-dimensional, very basic card. And then as you kind of upgrade them, their abilities don't change, but it's the actual artwork of themselves that increases in rarity. So they start to look a bit more 3D, or they'll have a little few effects around the edges of the card and stuff. I like those little details. They were quite fun. I kind of do like the fact it doesn't affect the abilities of the card, because then I feel like they can run into a hole.
Well, that's it, because then you run into the pay-to-win scenario. Yeah. And like it's like any of these games. They're free-to-play. There's going to be some monetization in them, but this one doesn't feel pay-to-win. Like, because I haven't gone into that, because I generally don't look at that stuff.
Yeah.
When I don't buy that stuff, especially when I'm just playing a mobile game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be that. You can buy stuff to upgrade the cards, which just gets you different variants of said card. So it's a fun game. And I've been enjoying it. And like I said, they're just quick 3-minute games, six turns. You get a certain amount of cost that you can spend each turn, and it starts at one and increments up slowly. So, and that kind of influences your deck building as well, because if you can only have six turns and there's only one round where you've got six cost that you can spend, you're only going to have one 6 cost card in your deck, because there's no point in having anything else.
Like, you really start, once you get into it and you start accumulating more cards, you do then get really stuck into the whole, oh my God, okay, what deck am I going to build and stuff like that? And you end up having your favourites, and then you get new cards, and then you have to replace them, and it's like a whole thing. But yeah, I actually like how quickly you got into it, because I just went through the whole thing of, once I learned how to play, it was always, oh yeah, I'll play one more.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll play, okay, well, maybe one more. And then I was like up to like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay, I'm maybe going to stop.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
It does get like that. It is very, very Moorish. But that is my bloody good game of the week, Marvel Snap. I believe it's also coming, if it's not coming to PC, it's already out on PC as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but I mean, the appeal to this for me is that it's a quick game that I can play on my mobile when I'm just on a little break somewhere. I'm on maybe on the train, so you can just pull out and have a go. So, yeah, that's my bloody good game of the week. Very, very happy for that. And Stormy, I believe you've gone back to an old faithful.
Well, I don't think I've actually made this my bloody good game of the week. Until I thought about it, and I was like, oh, you can all judge me what you like, but I'll tell you a couple of reasons why I enjoy it as well. So my bloody good game of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband, is League of Legends, which is like, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I hadn't played a game like League before until I only really got into it, I think maybe last year. And I was just so unfamiliar with the genre, and there wasn't really anyone I was particularly playing with too much at the time, and it has such a steep learning curve. Like, it is... I don't know how I persevered and had the patience to go, okay, you know what, I will keep learning, because at the beginning, you'll start off pretty rubbish, and because they have so many champions... all with their own unique abilities to play as.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, it just felt like every game you went into, you were like, who's this? Who's this? I haven't seen this character before. Who? What? And then it's like, where did that come from? I'm amazed that I persevered with this one as much as I did, because now I'm so familiar with a lot of the characters now. Going to games, I really do enjoy it, and I think it's almost the more that I know about the characters, the more competitive and the more grumpy I get, because I'm like, oh, I knew they were going to do that. Whereas when I started playing, I was like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. But now I'm like, damn it, I didn't know that, you know, they were going to pop their ult here or dodge this or dodge that. But, you know, I think the reason why I really got into it was mainly because I managed to find a good group of people to play with. And I think that goes for any kind of multiplayer game too.
That's half the battle, I feel. Because I when I play it, and I don't play very often, I play every now and then, but like one of the things that put me off for a long time of playing League was how the reputation for how toxic the player base had. But I tell you what, playing the unranked stuff, my first couple of games, I was being extra careful. Like, I was letting people know, hi, I've just started playing, don't hate me too much.
Yeah.
And more often than not, out of the three or four games I played in that first stint, people were saying, yeah, cool, and sending me friend requests and say, if you want to learn more, I will help you out. So there are some good eggs in there that will help. And if you've got a good group of people to teach you how to play the game, because you're right, it is complex.
It's very overwhelming when you, especially if you're new to this kind of genre and you haven't played things like Dota and things like that too. It's funny you say that too, because I went into it going, oh god, you hear everywhere about how toxic League is and all that kind of stuff. And it just so happened that someone who I was in one game with and we were in the same lane playing together, she ended up being from Perth. And we must have been playing a lot and talking about that I was streaming and stuff like that too. Happened to bump into each other at the shops one day, which is so random. And then when the League of Legends finals happened the other week, it was first time that I properly hung out with her and a few other friends who we all just met through online and all found out that we all live in the same city together. And it kind of brought us together, which is really nice. So I think that's the main thing. I think it goes for any multiplayer game, but I think that's why I particularly enjoy League, and I will probably recommend to anyone who might be looking at starting to play, is to play with a group of people and a group of patient people at that as well, because it is, again, a really steep learning curve, but all the characters are really great. Watching when Arcane came out, that just fully threw me into the lore and stuff even more. Obviously, playing the game is very different to watching the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of people have bad experiences with competitive games like this one, but this one has given me pretty much all good memories. Yeah, I do genuinely, for the most part, when I'm in a good mood, enjoy it. So that's why League of Legends is my bloody good game of the week. But I also wanted to make mention, some other people were sharing their bloody good games of the week as well. I think, I scroll up a little bit more. I know Arion shared a couple.
This was as far, I think this is where we started.
So we had Arion, is Final Fantasy 15, Killing Floor 2. And then what else do we have? I couldn't read.
Project Realm 4, which is his game that he's working on.
Yeah, that's it. And then Gaming Game Face says, I've finished with Ghost of Tsushima, I think is what, Ghost of Tsushima. I need to start something new that's not open world. Any recommendations? And then I think further down said, I have RE7 on PlayStation Plus. Would that work? Because I haven't played a modern horror. And I'm going to be very biased and say, yes, play it. If it's on PlayStation Plus, definitely play it. It is probably the scariest one out of the franchise. Gamma's bloody good game of the week is Modern Warfare 2, which I've been playing too. But yeah, no, thanks for all sharing your bloody good games of the week and continue to do so. And thanks, Aussie Broadband.
Yes, thank you very much, Aussie Broadband. So One more thing I think we need to talk about, because if you're watching live on twitch.tv/GameOnOz, you will see a nice little counter in the top left-hand corner there for Movember, because we're still doing Movember fundraising here at Game on Oz. So we do have the Tiltify link that you'll have in chat that you can donate through. And if you're listening to one of the podcasts, if you find us on Twitter at GameOnOz, just at GameOnOz, there'll be a link there that you can find and click to donate there. So we're currently sitting at $275.25 through the Tiltify link there.
Amazing.
But we noticed as well, because we do have a Movember team that's set up through the Movember website itself. And we've noticed that people have been donating quite a bit of money to that as well. And we thought, well, we're not going to get you to double up. If you've donated through the Movember website, we don't want to say, keep donating to Tiltify as well and get to so we can get to the awards there. So what we're going to do is we're going to add the two together.
Mm.
We're going to do a little bit of conversion. Hang on, I just need to write this down and carry the thing.
Oh, man.
Because like Tiltify works in US dollars and the Movember website works in Australian dollars. So I'm just going to have to quickly convert this. So what's the exchange rate? I think so that's going to come bring our total for Movember to $506.45 US.
Very
for
good.
Movember so far. So, and there's a couple of good things. Well, one good thing and one not so good thing about that. It means that we've unlocked our Goa stream, Goa staff gaming stream. So we'll get that happening. Yeah, it's going to happen next Tuesday night. So be around for that.
I'll be there.
The not so good thing, it means that we've got a few exercises to do here, Stormy.
Kind
so
of about that.
Yeah, I tried to, I didn't work.
How many exactly are we doing?
Well, 60 in total. So if we split it between ourselves, that's 30 each.
Okay. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. I was going to do squats. That's what I was going to do.
I'm going to take my keys out of my pocket so they don't jangle.
I have to get off my box, actually, because otherwise the weight of myself on this plastic box is going to create a hole in it. And we don't want to see that, so that's fine.
And I'm going to do mine in star jump. So give us a second. Yeah, rip friggin'
chill. Also, Dormant said this, but I'll say it as well because I've also noticed it's looking pretty good.
Coming in quite nicely now. I do like it.
Okay. But everyone tell us while we're doing our reps what else you're playing at the moment. And yes, tell us. And then I'll read them all out. All right. 30. Oh.
Okay, so what have we got? People that are playing, Dormat is playing Modern Warfare 2 on the gold camo grind. Sorry, I don't do a lot of exercise if you can't tell. I'm a little bit puffed.
25.
Gamma's been playing Scarlet Nexus. Nice. Didn't that just come out on Game Pass, I think?
Did it?
I think so.
Oh, I've got to do my lightning recaps after this and be out of breath. And 30. Okay.
Oh, that's we're up to date at least now.
All right, we're all up to date.
Pray for me tomorrow if there's any more donations. I have to do it for nuts and bolts.
Okay. So. Should we get into this lightning recap?
So you can do the talking and I'll catch my breath.
I'll try and catch my breath at the same time. Mm. Okay, so in terms of what's coming up in the next week, tomorrow, Goat Sims 3.
Oh, yes.
And on Friday, one that I'm personally looking forward to is The Dark Pictures, The Devil in Me, which looks brilliantly gory. Like, I have really enjoyed House of Ashes. I know I say that to a lot of people. I think it's The Dark Pictures, like, the best one so far out of the anthology. but this one looks especially, like, gruesome, so I think it should be really good. And, of course, can't forget on Friday, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, yes. Who's playing Pokemon? Chat, tell us who's playing Pokemon.
Yeah, and also which start are you picking? Because I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest decision for any Pokemon player going to play the new games is which starter will you go for.
I always have a laugh with Pokemon because they start off, they're so cutesy, and then you get to the end and it's, I will eat your soul.
Yeah, literally, it does a full flip, yeah. Like a full 180. So yeah, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is obviously the big thing happening this Friday. And then next Tuesday is actually Evil West, which is, really caught up with us.
Yeah, I've not been, I must admit, I get a little bit, I got a little bit confused between Evil West and...
Evil Dead?
Weird West.
Oh, Weird West, sorry. Yeah.
I get a little bit, because I'm sitting there when I saw it come up, go, Evil West is coming. Hasn't it already come out? But no, I was thinking of Weird West.
Weird West, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, in terms of the latest Game Pass news, so, of course, Pentiment and Somerville are available now. And then tomorrow, we will have Dune Spice Wars game review and also game preview and Ghost Lore game preview coming to PC tomorrow. And then tomorrow as well, there's a game called Lapin that's coming to day one to Game Pass, as well as a game called, I believe it's Norco, coming to cloud and console. November 22, we have Gungrave Gore. And Soccer Story comes to Game Pass on November 29, as well as Insurgency Sandstorm coming to cloud and console. And on November 30, Warhammer 40K Darktide comes to PC.
Whoa, that's a big list of games coming.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit excited about Soccer Story. Like, I haven't played any of those sports story games before, but, they feel like they're cool. Like, they're a different spin on the sports games. And and I kind of want to give that a try, see how it goes.
Yeah, I think, for me, the Dune one, because I had seen the movie and I quite enjoyed that, interested to know what that's going to be like. So please let me know if you played the Dune Spice Wars game as well. Let me know. And then as well as that, in terms of the latest Goa news, in terms of reviews, there's the Rimworld Biotech, BioLentric, and also a review for Pentiment by Zulu. And I don't know about you, Jim, but I have seen so many good reviews and reactions to Pentiment, all over the internet when it came out.
Yeah, it's been...
Only yesterday, I want to say. Yesterday or Monday? It was only, within
the
last 2 days.
Long ago. It wasn't that long ago. We're talking days that it came out. And it does... It looks really good. It looks like a really cool sort of historical... it's set in that particular time frame. It looks really good, and by the sound of it sticks pretty faithfully to that environment.
That's the latest on the Lightning recap. Let us know if any of those games that are coming to Game Pass, any of the games coming out this week, are ones you'll be picking up. And if you want to see more of our reviews and all our previous episodes of The Weekly Show and Nuts and Bolts, make sure you check out GameAndOz.com.
Exactly. Great roundup. I love it.
Thank you.
One of these days I am going to get a lightning sound effect so we can just have that there when we're ready to go.
It's always good timing when I bring out the Game Pass latest updates. It's always the day before the show, it's nice and fresh.
Yeah. Thank you, Xbox. Speaking of Xbox, there's something popped up on my Twitter feed today, and I'm very excited and also at the time feeling very old, but the 15th of November, which is technically yesterday for us here, but it's the 15th in the States now, but the 15th of November, 2022 then, but that's not 2002, Xbox Live came out. It was the first day that Xbox Live was released. It's the 20th anniversary of all those amazing multiplayer games that you have played on Xbox.
Do you remember when Xbox Live?
I kind of do, but I didn't have an Xbox at that time. But I do remember going around and playing at my mate's place. And Halo was always the thing. And I think it's easy to look at it now and going, yeah, online gaming is the thing. But Xbox Live was the first real service that did that. There was, I think the first one that I know of was actually on the Super Nintendo. But the way Nintendo did it in typical Nintendo fashion, and rather than trying to get people to download things, they actually bought broadcast space on from some TV frequency that they used. And so you could only download this stuff in like a 2-hour window on a Friday evening type thing. So I think that was the first one I could remember. But even after that, PlayStation 2 had a network adapter, and some of the games had network play, but it wasn't network all that adapter. Good. Yeah. Remember that when you actually needed another device to connect your console to the internet and it didn't come with Wi-Fi or a network port? But that's what the Xbox did totally differently. And it was its approach to online gameplay. And without Xbox Live, we wouldn't be where we are today with console multiplayer. I firmly believe that.
Mm. Wow, 20 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't want to know how old you are, Stormy. Don't tell me.
Oh, I'm turning another year older on Friday, yeah. So.
Good. We'll stick with that because, yeah,
I was going to say, I didn't have an Xbox either, but probably for different reasons in 2002. Okay. But it's fine. It's okay.
Gamma's saying in chat, the Dreamcast had a broadband adapter. Yeah, I could see that because, like, the Dreamcast was that funny console because Sega kind of shot themselves in the foot with the Sega Saturn, which was the console before the Dreamcast. And then the Dreamcast came out, but it wasn't a popular console, but it was a good console and it did a lot of things right. But just because people didn't see that, because the Saturn just went for Sega, a lot of people saw the Dreamcast and has a good reputation now, but that's why it's really expensive in retro shops.
I was going to say, unrelated to Xbox Live specifically, but on the topic of Xbox, do you remember the first Xbox game that you played?
Well, it'll be Halo because I didn't have the OG Xbox, but I do remember going around mates' places. Like at the time there was a magazine called Hyper. It's still around as far as I know. I haven't read magazines for a while, but I'm pretty sure it's still around. But they had a really good online forum and a good community there, and there was a few of us in Perth, and we would quite often get together and do meetups and whatnot. And I remember one time we had to drive like to Joondalup or something, which is a long freaking way. And back then, I don't think the freeway even went that far, so even further. But we got there, and we've like networked two Xboxes together, so we were doing 4v4. So like eight of us, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And just like you can't replicate that through online. I know, we can through a little bit through voice chat, but
as all getting together, right?
Yeah, that's right. Being all in the same room, well, in this case we weren't in the same room. Four of us were in the same room and four of us were in another room. But
I know it's not quite the same, but like going back to my bloody good game of the week and stuff, when the bunch of us who had played League together online for like the last year got together, went to one of the internet cafes in the city. I'd never stepped foot into one. And we all were sitting together in like almost the same bench, all playing League. And we just looked at each other and were like, this is really weird.
Yeah.
This is really, really strange.
We're going to shout at each other now.
We're like, do we even put our headsets on? Like, we're just so used to like being next to each other. It was such a peculiar feeling.
Got to do the thing where you've got like one can off your ear so you can hear them but still hear the game.
Yeah. But I think the first game I remember playing on the Xbox was, I think it wasn't even our Xbox. I think my uncle brought his Xbox over because we didn't have one at the time. And we played Lego Indiana Jones.
Nice.
That was my first Lego game I played. And no one seems to remember this game, but it was SpongeBob Lights Action Pants. And it was this brilliant little co-op multiplayer, like competitive game. It was just full of mini games. It was like Mario Party, but SpongeBob. And it was so fun, so good. Like, I could still hear the music and the sound effects from that game because we played it so much.
You know it's good when it's in your head like that.
Yeah, that's how you know you've played it too much too. Yeah. And then when you hear those sounds again, it's like hearing, I can't remember. It's like
the Wii menu.
Not even the Wii menu, like the very first Harry Potter Philosopher's Stone game. It was so many iconic sounds of when you'd find certain like collectibles and stuff around in the levels, and then it was like an iconic little tune would play. So good. Yeah.
Happy birthday to Xbox Live. Cannot wait to see what Microsoft comes at, because like Xbox Live is changed slightly now. So I think you can still buy an Xbox Live subscription. But now it's more Game Pass where it's at, and you get all the games with it as well.
Definitely more of a Game Pass focus. I think you can still get it without, you can still get Live without having to get Gold. But for the price difference, you might as well just get gold.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, I was different.
When I was first thinking about getting Game Pass, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll go and swap over, and like procrastinated for a while, and then eventually went, oh, yeah, let's go and do it. And I'd found at some point that my Xbox Gold membership had been converted into a Game Pass membership anyway. I'd had Game Pass for the last 3 months and not realized. But yeah, that's really cool. So something else that's come up over the last few days as well has been the Game Awards. So
I'm so excited to get stuck into this.
Well, I feel like the awards side of it aside, like I feel like we have this discussion. Well, I have this discussion with people every time it happens. And it's just like, where did this come from? Like, I'm all for industry awards. I'm all like, and I'm going to liken this to kind of like AFL. And like, look, because the big awards in there, there's the Brownlow, which is voted by umpires, and there's the players' awards. So the players vote for themselves, well, amongst themselves to get it. I think there's a coaches' award as well. So the coaches vote on who they think is the best players. I don't know where this is for the Game Awards though, like, because people vote on this and it's crowd voted, and Natty and I talk about it because there's 4 or 5 esports awards as part of this, and we talk about this for Nuts and Bolts tomorrow night. But it's just like, do they get like qualified people to say, cool, this is what we want?
Yeah.
But then we get the public to vote for it. And I think anytime you open up the public, that's when we end up with stuff like Bodie McBoatface. Do you remember that?
No.
So I think it was an Arctic explorer, but there was an actual boat that some scientific exploration unit put up. So we're going to name our boat. What do we want to name it? And like opened it up to everybody. And somebody came out and said Bodie McBoatface.
Oh.
And that won.
Oh.
So the boat is now Bodie McBoatface.
The power of the people.
The power of the internet, I think. Because if so many people would just go for the lols. And like,
yeah.
I remember we did that in high school. Like there was this guy who was a bit of a stoner and somehow got elected to student council because everybody thought it would be a great joke just to elect him. And like the same thing happens on the internet. Just people just go, that's funny. I like that. I'm going to vote for that.
Well, I've just had a look to see, so I didn't actually know how the nominees were selected. Mm-hmm. And on the Game Awards website, it says the nominees for most categories of the Game Awards are chosen by an international jury of over 100 global media and influencer outlets selected for the history of critical video game evaluation. Each voting outlet completes a confidential, unranked ballot based on the collective and diverse opinion of its editorial staff, listing out its top 5 choices in each category, which is basically
okay. So if there's a panel of learned experts that are doing that, why can't they choose these? Because I feel that leaving it up to the public, like, sure, you can have a vote for like fan favorite game of the year or fan favorite indie and stuff like that. But if you're gonna call this, if you're gonna try and market this as the industry award, you should be having industry veterans decide it.
Apparently, the way they do it, because it says how winners selected, winners are determined by a blended vote between the voting jury, so they get 90% and the public get 10%. So it's going to be a small fraction to get people over the line as a public standpoint.
Well, that kind of says that voting's a waste of time then as well.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Raven, thank you for the resub as well. Appreciate you.
Right. Yeah, but feelings for this aside, because like I don't know about you, but it feels like Game Awards kind of sprung up as a way to sell ads, but that's another thing entirely. But let's have a chat about some of the nominations. So Game of the Year is going to be the big one. So Game of the Year, we've got A Plague Tale Requiem, which Al Intrick reviewed for our website and loved how it played. Elden Ring.
I think that's no surprise, Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's a surprise.
Which Pete did the review for. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Entertainingly written review. Very unique.
Yes.
Uniquely written review.
Definitely go have a look at that.
Please
go
read it.
God of War Ragnarok, which we had Grumpy on last week talking about.
Yep.
Horizon Forbidden West. Mm-hmm. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which Mikey reviewed for GameOnOz.com. Yep. Then there's this one, Stray. So
That was unexpected.
It is. And is
Wait, hold on. But I'm also going to ask chat, is it unexpected? Like, did you guys expect Straya to be in the Game of the Year awards? And I'm not obviously saying that in a way where it diminishes its value. I'm not saying that at all.
Because Straya is a very good game. Mm. But does it deserve Game of the Year honours?
I personally thought I've had my heart held out that Cult of the Lamb was going to be up there. If there was going to be an indie game up there, it was going to be Cult of the Lamb, based on, like, when we've done the previous episodes of the podcast, we're talking about how much it sold in such a short amount of time. Obviously, Stray had a lot of attention as well, and the only thing I personally saw, and this could be different for everyone, the only thing I personally saw about Stray is not so much how good the game was, and I knew people were enjoying the game, but the most that I saw of Stray were people going, oh, cute cat, cute kitty cat. And I'm like, I agree with that. It's very cute. It's very cute. But I didn't see it in the same way that people were, say, raving about Cult of the Lamb, for example.
Yeah. It's a very, at its heart, it's a very simple game. But here's the thing. So these are the categories that Stray's been announced for. And once again, I feel we need to stress, we are not saying that it's a bad game. It is a great game. You should play it. It's just, I think I found when I played it, I was looking for a purr button, and there is a dedicated, I think it was
like a meow. Dedicated
meow button. And I love that. So it's a good game and you should go and play it, but it has been nominated for Game of the Year, Best Direction, Best Art Direction, Best Indie, Best Action Adventure, and Best Indie Debut.
And I feel like what we're asking in terms of the number of nominations it has is to kind of look at it amongst the other games in a category too, because I think it rightfully deserves to be in the best indie game category. It's a really well done game,
but in terms of the art style, like, it's very photorealistic, it's very nice, but and best direction, like,
I think we should see what else is nominated, okay, like it's up against, to give us a better idea. Because we are, like, whether you mean to or not, you're going to look at other games in the same category and you are going to compare. So
I'm going to leave the best indie categories alone because I think that's something different. Hang on, I haven't actually brought them up. So let's have a look at best direction and best... best direction and best art direction. Direction... Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray.
I feel like are we going to go through these categories and put our predictions out?
I think we can pick a few. I think we'll pick a few as we go on because like there's 31 categories, and if we're going to be here all night. So that's best game direction, best art direction. Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray.
I like Scorn's there. It's very unique.
So I would like to make a comment on these. And there is no denying that God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Elden Ring are good-looking games. Mm. But if you tell me you're looking at art, I'm looking at a unique art style, not just... how many pixels can we put on this? And like I said, when it's not a particular dig at these games, it's just like, to me, out of this list of best art direction, Scorn should win that because it's the most unique. It's the most interesting looking one out of those lot.
Elden Ring has some amazing designs in there too, like boss designs and things like that. And again, it's a funky thing, isn't it? Because when anyone looks at the Game Awards as an individual, you're going to go based off either what you've known, what you've watched, what you've played. Mm. So obviously, our opinions are obviously our own based on what we know of it. Like, I loved Horizon Forbidden West, but having put a good fair amount of hours into Elden Ring, I'm like, I love the art style of it. So yeah.
Cool. I'm going to leave the best indie and best indie debut categories alone because I think it belongs in there. That's where Stray belongs. Yeah. But best action adventure game. So in this category, we've got A Plague Tale: Requiem, God of War: Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West again. I should have gone through and counted up how many Horizon got for nominations because there's a lot. But then the category's rounded out by Stray and Tunic. And honestly, if we I would rank Tunic much higher than Stray in this one. Yeah, I don't know. It's a funny game that seemed to have been picked as the indie darling for this game awards.
I'm thinking about when I played Horizon Forbidden West, because I am still playing it on and off at the moment. I don't know if it's just me. I couldn't get into it as much as I did with the first one. The first one I was just obsessed with. Second one I'm struggling with a little bit. But if I were to guess, I would like it to be between either God of War or A Plague's Tale. Tunic I haven't played, but I know you raved about it. So it would be really nice to see it come out on top of the other ones. But they're up against some really big contenders here.
And I think the difference with Tunic as well, and I think why it probably won't win that particular category, is because it was a 2D platformer. I feel that, like, if you're going to do an action-adventure game, I think it's going to be between God of War and Horizon Forbidden West, and I'd probably more lean towards God of War because that's more recent in people's memory in that category. But, like, Tunic itself is a great game, but it has moments where it can be frustrating because there are no instructions.
Mm. Yeah, but so is like Elden. Like, you can almost argue Elden Ring's a bit of the same, where you're just kind of like, here you go.
Yeah, like, but Elden Ring, Elden Ring doesn't, like, you can go looking for secrets, and I haven't played it, so I'm sure you can find secrets. But Tunic, to the point where one of the collectibles in the game is the manual. So if you've got to go around and collect pieces of the manual, and then you find out, like, I must have been an hour or two into the game and I keep on coming across these platforms. And eventually you get the piece of the manual that says, oh, by the way, these are quick travel points. And if you knew the button to press right from the beginning, you could press the button and use it, but you didn't know what it was. So you thought it was just, well, I thought it was just a pressure plate so I would stand on it. But so, like, it's an interesting thing.
Because I'm reading, like, the little description underneath for the best action adventure game combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. So it's a tricky one. The more I think about Horizon, the less fussed I feel about it in this category, maybe. I don't know.
I'm just going to check one thing, because there's also a best action game category. And
what does the description say? For the best game in the action genre, focus primarily on combat. So there's Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge.
Thoughts on that? Like, I haven't played Neon White, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah.
I have played Bayonetta 3. I've played Shredder's Revenge. I've seen enough of Sifu and Modern Warfare 2 to say that, yeah, cool, they're action games. Modern Warfare is a bit more of the pew-pew, shooty-shooty action game, but it's still there. But for me, I think this one should go to either Sifu or Shredder's Revenge, because I feel like Sifu did enough differently. Like, Bayonetta is a gorgeous game. It's fun to play, but the combat in it is very similar to Bayonetta 1 and 2, which is not a bad thing. Yeah. It's just very similar.
Yeah.
But then
compared to Sifu and TMNT, like, how do you feel it weighs up there?
I think that there is more variety in Sifu and Shredder's Revenge. Well, let me start that one again. There's more variety in the combat in Sifu, because Sifu was made as, like, a very hard hand-to-hand combat sort of a game. So I feel that puts it above Bayonetta in terms of best action game.
I would like to see Sifu win. Like, I haven't played it, but I was watching Grumpy, who was here last week, play it on stream, I think not long after it came out. And I was like, this looks fantastic. I was like, this looks really challenging, but it looks really, really great. I'd like to see that one win over COD.
Mm.
Actually, I'm enjoying COD Modern Warfare 2, don't get me wrong. It would just be nice to see a different game.
Is it just more COD, though, is the thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it, like, I had, like, a couple of people ask me when I streamed the other week, how is it? And I kind of just went, oh, yeah, it's COD. but, like, I don't think it does anything extraordinary. So, I would like Sifu.
Yeah. And I think I would like Sifu to win more than Shredder's Revenge, but Shredder's Revenge was such a good throwback. And this may be
the nostalgia, though.
Yeah, well, that's just what I was going to say. It might be the rose-tinted glasses, where this was very much like Turtles in Time, which I absolutely played to death on the Super Nintendo. But there was enough different in it that made it its own game as well.
Yeah.
And it captured that, because like Turtles in Time was an arcade game as well. So it was that four-player co-op. You'd all sit there at your arcade machine and play together. And this captured that spirit as well. And and expanded it, because it went from four players to six players. So you could do six-player co-op, which looked very chaotic, but it's something you could do. And, yeah, for me, there's probably a little bit of nostalgia in there as well. But look, I think in for this one,
Sifu. What else have we got?
So let's have a quick look. So, you know, we talked about it, but we didn't actually make any predictions. So what do you think Game of the Year is going to be? From A Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon, Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
I would really like to see Elden Ring get it, but I think God of War will. I don't know why I say that and sound disappointed. I feel like God of War's like I haven't played God of War.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the predictable choice. I feel like Elden Ring feels like so long ago. God of War's fresh in people's minds right now, and I would love. I don't know. You like think about when Elden Ring came out. Like that's all you heard about with Elden Ring, and
our friends over at the OGR podcast, Oceanic Gaming Radio. Yeah. If you want to go look them up, they were in danger of turning into an Elden Ring podcast. That's how much they were talking about it. Yeah.
I mean, I would really like Elden Ring, even A Plague Tale. I haven't played it, but I've been watching other people play it, and just chat to people in general about that game, and everyone says how much they enjoy it. I kind of like going for, like, not the underdog, but I like to go for the least, well, maybe not the most popular choice. So, yeah, Elden Ring, me personally, like, I would, out of everything here, Elden Ring would be my game of the year. But I think God of War will get it.
Yeah. You? I'm the same. I think in this category, it's a race between Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok. And I think God of War just has that more recent memory in it that I think that it'll take it.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's have I'm going to bring up this one because it's the only nomination one of my favorite games of the year has gotten, and that's Best Score and Music. So in here we've got A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and Metal Hellsinger. If Metal Hellsinger doesn't win this, I will riot.
I'm actually Metal Hellsinger aside, this is the second or third time we've seen them. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, I was not expecting actually to see.
I must admit,
I missed the train on that one, but
I think I kind of did as well, because I look at games like that and I look JRPG and it's...
Not your cup of tea?
Well, they used to be. I used to love the JRPGs, but at some point they just kind of all blur into one another. Like I went through a phase of going and buying the modern Final Fantasy games, so from Final Fantasy up, like when I was in my early 20s. So I played through 7. I persevered with 8 but gave up because I really didn't like it. 9, 10, 10, 2. 11 was the MMO, so I missed that one. Then 12. And I played the first 13 because there were like 3 13s.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I dropped off again.
Yeah.
But they all kind of blur into each other, you know, and I feel a little bit that way about things like Xenoblade Chronicles and a few other like JRPGs that are out there. They just, they don't hold. They look great. They look amazing. They've got some good combat in them, but yeah, they all just sort of blend. And it does feel like I've snoozed a little bit on Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
What else do we have?
So Metal Hellsinger win that one or I riot. Games for Impact. Now, I kind of like that this is a category, and I would like to raise this one. And I must admit, I only know one game.
So do I. I think I know two, but only one of them, I think. I don't know. Sorry.
But anyway, so the text for Games for Impact is a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. So there's A Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. It took me a little while to register what that word was in my head. But, and the only one I've seen anything of in this is As Dusk Falls.
Yeah, and likewise.
I've seen that as a really great story-driven game.
Yeah, and then I think I've seen little glimpses of Endling Extinction is Forever. Mm-hmm. But it actually makes me want to go check out these games for Impact Games because I quite like the category too. So, and I believe Mikey did a review for As Dust Falls as well. So if you want to read that, check that out on our website.
So best mobile game, and I feel like this gets sniggered at a lot because it's mobile, but I'm very happy because Marvel Snap has been nominated.
Marvel Snap is on there.
Along with Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, and Tower of Fantasy.
I feel like Genshin will get it.
I don't know.
I know that's probably not what you want to hear. But
well, I played a bit of Genshin on PC when it first came out, and I quite liked it. But it got to a point where there were lots of gacha mechanics. Like if you wanted to keep getting all the bits and pieces, you needed to spend money. And at the time, I think I was playing 3 MMOs, so I just went, you know what, this one, I'm just going to skip. But look. And say what you will about Diablo Immortal, but if you just wanted to play the game and do the story content, that was an amazing game.
I remember us covering that when it first came out because of all the drama and stuff surrounding it. So I'm actually quite impressed because obviously if people have to put in their top five or the jury, has to put in the top five. To see Diablo 1 here, I think, like, I'm surprised maybe League of Legends Wild Rift is in there, maybe? I mean, I'm a bit biased. I play a lot of Apex, not on mobile, but on PC. Yeah. But I do know it has quite a big following because I could be wrong. Don't quote me on this. I think they've got exclusive Legends to mobile and stuff too. But I've played a fair amount of Genshin and the same as you, got to the part where it got a little grindy. But it runs really well. Like I almost went hardcore into it where I had my Xbox controller had a little stand for my phone and I was playing it in bed.
And and that's what I think for me, like mobile gaming isn't there for me. It's to the point, by that I mean it's not there for me to sit down for hours on end and play on my phone, even though that's what I do with Marvel Snap. But it's a game that you can sit there, you can hold it in one hand, you can flick, you can just go click and drag, and it's just a nice simple game that you can play with. Like the other games that I go to the most on my phone are like the Sudoku and stuff like that they're just nice simple puzzle games that if I get interrupted with on my phone, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Like for me, for example, because I don't drive just yet and I can be traveling quite a while to get between places and things like that, that's probably where I probably play a bit more involved, I guess, mobile games. Like I'll play like Marvel Snap in between a quick trip somewhere, but like if I was going on an hour and a half journey and maybe whip out some Genshin or something like that. So, interesting one.
Yeah. So, best indie, Cult of the Lamb. Yes. Got a nomination.
I was getting worried when I didn't see it for Game of the Year. I was like, what do you mean it's not Game of the Year?
But Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray and Tunic. So,
That's a nice lineup, I think.
I think it is. I've seen the trailers for Neon White, but haven't really seen any gameplay, so I can't comment too much on that. But that is a very good lineup. My only concern about this is because Stray has been nominated for Game of the Year, and none of these other games have, that Stray will just straight up win this.
Yeah, because if so many people have put Stray for their Game of the Year, think about how many people would have also put it for Best Indie. Yeah. I feel...
How many people will sit there and go, it's never going to win against God of War and Elden Ring and A Plague Tale and Xenoblade Chronicles 3? I feel sorry for it. Let's give it Indie of the Year.
Again, I just, like, I really want Cult of the Lamb to win this. I really, really want them to. They definitely, oh, man, I'm going to be so upset if they don't. I will actually, like, that will be my metal Hellsinger. I will be upset.
Stormy will riot. best adaption. So this is, like, best creative work, not video game, of a video game property. So, for instance, Arcane for League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie, and Uncharted, the movie. I've seen three of these. I've seen Arcane, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. Going to be honest, I don't think Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Uncharted are good enough to get anywhere near Arcane.
I've seen 3. I've seen Arcane. I've almost finished Cyberpunk. Really enjoying it. Seen Sonic the Hedgehog 2. haven't seen Uncharted or Cuphead. Based on what I've watched, I would really like Arcane to win it because I think there's so many different components to that show, both like art direction-wise, music, story, everything in there is good. And also Cyberpunk Edgerunners is also like it's top-notch. It's really good. I wasn't a big fan of Sonic 2. There were some really good parts of Sonic 2. Did you say you haven't seen that?
I've seen it.
I think I preferred the first one, but there were some really good parts about Sonic 2, but I just don't feel like what you said, it kind of is on that same level as Arcane and Cyberpunk.
And I feel the same way as with Uncharted. Like, they were enjoyable movies, and they were good fun movies, but they didn't tell the story and have the lore that Arcane had. Mm. And I'm going to guess Edgerunners have as well, because I haven't seen that myself.
Yeah, I haven't played Cyberpunk, but my partner has. So I don't know a lot of the connections and stuff to the game and things. I'm just going in as a fresh viewer, which I feel like a lot of people I knew who I got into Arcane was like as well, because they were like, but I haven't played League of Legends. And I was like, you don't need to. And I think that's a testament to the shows, is that even if you're not a video game fan, you go still watch those shows and you enjoy them. That's good writing. That's enough to draw people in. I really wanted to watch the Cuphead show though.
Yeah.
And I've heard really good things about it. And I actually haven't played the game. And I know that I will like it. I don't have the patience for the game though. But the show's been on my list for ages. And I think it would be a really fun surprise if it did win. But again, I haven't seen the show, so I can't judge it. But Arcane and Cyberpunk are truly next level.
So just quietly, I'm looking at the production houses behind the three shows, because obviously the movies are the movies. But Arcane, Edgerunners and the Cuphead show, all done by Netflix.
But then you could almost say the same thing. Like, it's like that's a really interesting observation.
I also feel like Netflix just throws money at anything that comes in the door, though, as well. I feel like it takes gambles on short-term things, but they're also they're not afraid to take gambles, but they're also not afraid to say, you did pretty well, but you're not coming back for season two. Not that I think that's going to happen with Arcane. I think that's definitely that's got Riot money behind it. That's coming back for a season two.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. It is coming back for a season two. Uncharted, it's weird. I expected to go see Uncharted because I was a fan of Tom Holland, because obviously I love Spider-Man and all that kind of stuff. And I still wasn't really pulled into it for whatever reason. And maybe because I hadn't played the games, I was worried I was going to go and not appreciate it, or either I wouldn't enjoy it and not go play the games, whatever the case was. I don't think I heard anything amazing about it. I heard it was just okay.
It's like what Grumpy was saying about Sonic Frontiers last year. It's a solid 7 out of 10, I'd say. It's an enjoyable ride. It doesn't really follow any of the games except for one of the big set pieces in it.
But you see, that's what I think annoys me, and I'm sure we've talked about this in a previous episode about video game adaptations, is when you do have all that lore from the video games and all that existing content, and when you go and make a film or a TV show and you disregard it, The Witcher, then fans are going to know that. And I think fans are appreciative of, I would say, our top three in the best adaptation list. Those are films or TV shows that really understand that game's coming from.
Like, I also feel like Arcane is very different because League does have a crap ton of lore, and it does have like stories written here and there. But I'm not sure about TV shows and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure Arcane was the first League TV show.
Yeah, it was.
So they've got all this general direction and these broad strokes of what's happened, but Arcane still has to fill in the gaps. Whereas something like a game like Uncharted has a story, and it has a tale to tell. And I think if you're going to make a movie of something, you've only got 90 minutes to 2 hours to maybe tell that story. So you don't want to tell the same thing again, because people have already spent 30, 40, 50 hours with these characters in the game. And if you're just retelling the story of the game, then what's the point? You may as well go play the game.
I I respectfully disagree. I think, like, and I know we're going a bit of a tangent, but, like, the latest Resident Evil movie to come out, for example, Welcome to Raccoon City, there's something exciting about that to me, even after playing the game and stuff like that, where I wanted to see those moments that I played come to life, and I wanted to watch what it would be like, what their interpretation of that would be like in terms of it being true to the game. And it there was some fantastic visual aspects of that movie where it was, character-wise, absolutely not. And that's what really crushed me. But I don't actually mind getting a, like, it's kind of like The Witcher. I hate bringing up The Witcher because it's just a sore spot knowing that it's just gone off in an awful direction now. But where, again, they have this existing, like, cauldron.
Mythos, yeah.
Yeah, this cauldron of content they could, you know, really sink into. And then they go, oh, actually, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do our own thing. And I feel like that's just a total disservice to, like, the fans.
I think in some cases it is, and especially where there's a lot of lore. But in terms of Uncharted, I think they're thieves. You make it a heist movie. And like I said, the only thing that I was kind of disappointed about in it was that they didn't sort of swing to that supernatural element at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, that's anyway. Yeah. Good discussion, like it. all right, here we go. Here's a big one. Most anticipated game.
You all know what I'm gonna say. Maybe you should just read out the nominees first.
So we got Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Starfield, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Evil, you missed one.
Sorry, I missed one. Yeah. Resident Evil 4 just is also there
just
as well.
Say it, why just skip over it? I'm obviously Resident Evil 4. You can shout at me all you want. Oh, it's a remake. It's not a new game. Let me have it. Like I know Raven was going to say Resident Evil 4 as well. Again, I've argued this before. I think instead of just replicating the original game or doing a remaster, what Resident Evil does with their remakes, which is, you know, for example, what they did with 2 especially, it's so, so well done and so fresh. It almost feels like you're playing a new game. God, I can't wait for that. That is so high up on my list. I mean, I don't really have to guess. I mean, I'm sure yours is Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. No, honestly, if you'd asked me like 10 years ago, it would have been quite a toss-up between Final Fantasy 16, because I absolutely loved the Final Fantasy series, but I didn't play 15, and I don't intend on playing 16. Just I don't have the time to put into big games like that anymore. So for me, it's going to be Tears of the Kingdom. There's nothing else that it can be for me. A little bit into Starfield, but once again, it's just that big game, and I really only have time for one big game at a time.
That's true. I mean, Starfield, I mean, after I visited the Bethesda thing, like, I mean, I didn't show much of Starfield at PAX anyway, but, not PAX. What do they call it? The Worlds of Bethesda.
I didn't really
show too much of that. As a Bethesda game, I'll probably say Starfield's the second on my list, only because I haven't finished Breath of the Wild. Otherwise, I'm sure that will be a close second to Resident Evil.
I follow a few Zelda theorists on YouTube, and like
I'm not surprised you do.
No, and I don't watch the content where they speculate what's going to be in Tears of the Kingdom because I like being surprised. It's the same reason where I barely even watch trailers for movies because I like going into things surprised.
Fresh.
Breath of the Wild was just such a good game. It was a big shake up for the Legend of Zelda series and much needed breath of fresh air, no pun intended. I'm going to own that. Pun intended. And Tears of the Kingdom is just going to be so amazing.
I mean, there are other also, I mean, I wouldn't call them the highly anticipated, because they didn't make the highly anticipated games, but I know Gamey Game Face said this, and I'm looking forward to Forspoken. Poor thing. That poor game's been pushed back a few times now. And Skull and Bones as well is one that I'm going to keep my eye out for. But if I'd like to see something win here, I'd like to say it's Resident Evil 4, but I think Tears of the Kingdom will win.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think Starfield might be up there. Because I think there's enough other people that have been looking forward to Starfield for a while.
Yeah. Whereas like you get all the Nintendo people going Tears of the Kingdom, and like Starfield's got a bigger base to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, there are much, much more. Oh, my, are English good? But I do. There are so many other categories
I do
here.
Words good.
Yeah, I do good words. I am so smart. SMRT. I mean, it's. Yeah. But yeah, there are a lot of other categories that you can go and catch for the Game Awards. Even some esports ones, which Natty and I speak about in Nuts and Bolts, which you can watch tomorrow night at twitch.tv/GameOnOz there. But for the Game Awards in general, December 8th, which will be December 9th for us here in, you know, the proper part of the world where we do time right. Hello from the future, everybody else. But yeah, so you can catch it then, 8th of December. I'm sure we'll see lots of trailers for games and things that people have paid for.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. We'll have another little, like, gaming mascot walk out into the stage.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the Elden Ring, I can't remember what it was called, The Pot came out?
No.
You don't remember that? Was that the Game Awards or were we making stuff up?
I can't remember.
Anyway.
I must admit, I do, like, when I wake up, because usually it's I wake up and then I watch the thing and then I might, you know, watch part of it and then get bored and then just like read a recap of stuff that's come out because they go, oh, I'm not interested in that game. I'm interested in that game. I'll go
watching everything. Adds to the suspense.
But that is coming very shortly. Thanks again to Aussie Broadband for our bloody good game of the week and providing some amazing internet. If you're looking for internet, give them a shout out there. Don't forget Movember as well. If you would like to donate, catch our Tiltify campaign on there too, or even like our Movember team as well, the Go On Movember team, because we're including that in our totals. I think that's about it. I think I've covered all the bases, I think.
Yeah, I think you've got everything. And I can't wait to chat after the Game Awards as well. Obviously, we're doing more episodes between then, but I think that will be a really fun...
Yeah.
That will be a really spicy discussion, I reckon.
Can't believe Stray won so many bloody awards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I cannot wait to see that. And we will catch everybody next week.